half a dozen Northwest craft breweries are diversifying into making non-alcoholic beer. Instead of bland and watery near beer, they're injecting quality and variety into a space that used to be dominated by a few national brands. Correspondent Tom Bonsi in Olympia hoisted a glass on the job and didn't get into trouble.
The kettle is already hot when the co-owner and the head brewer at Three Magnets Brewing Company arrive with a load of freshly harvested hops from the Willamette Valley. Brewer Aaron Blondin gets to work at the brew pub in Olympia.
This is self-care fresh cut, and so it's a pale ale.
The crew empties the bags of fragrant hops into a stainless steel tank. There's a bunch of ways to make non-alcoholic beer. One is to brew regular beer and then later remove the alcohol with pressure or heat. Another option is to control the fermentation so the batch produces minimal or no alcohol to begin with. Blondin takes that approach.
So I've told everybody, yeah, it's challenging, and no, I won't tell you exactly how we do it.
Broadly speaking, the technique is called manipulated or arrested fermentation. Craft brewers prefer it because it preserves the flavor and the body of the beverage and doesn't require additional expensive technology. To be sold as non-alcoholic in most states, an adult beverage must have less than half of 1% alcohol content. The past couple years have seen a case full of flavors and styles of near beer pour into the market.
So a lot of our pilsners do really well. So the Bohemian brew that just came out is wonderful, and that's based on a Czech pilsner, which I specialize in.
In Oregon, Deschutes Brewery now makes a non-alcoholic version of its signature Black Butte Porter. Also from Bend, Crux competes with a hazy IPA, among other offerings. And Sawtooth in Idaho is coming out with a seasonal Oktoberfest brew under its non-alcoholic Atmos Brewing label.
You know, traditionally a double IPA.
Nate and Sarah Riley are the co-owners of Three Magnets in Olympia. Nate picks a double IPA to accompany the story of how they branched into non-alcoholic beer.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It started in 2020 as an experiment.
Yeah, and probably a selfish one at that. So getting ready to go into Sober October, just having something that you can drink.
Sarah and I had partaken in Dry January that year and Sober October the year before. And I asked him, I said, well, can you have a batch done and in cans before October?
Him being Blondin, the brewer.
And he thought about it for about a minute and said yes.
Now, just a few years later, Sarah says non-alcoholic beer accounts for just over half of the production volume of this small brewery.
The sales exploded. We're shipping this beer to 41 different states.
Riley and other craft brewers say what happened is the target audience spilled well beyond designated drivers and people in recovery minding their sobriety. Athletes are choosing it. Health-conscious millennials are driving growth. The quality improvement eases the possible stigma of being seen drinking near beer at a bar or barbecue.
Another really special sector that we weren't expecting was pregnant women. We have two kids, and I remember being pregnant in this industry, and it can be kind of alienating to not be able to drink when everybody's drinking. And so I just love to see the pregnant women come in and enjoy a beer with their friends and get to feel like they're still a part of the community and what's going on. And
if beer is not your thing, the next trend could be local non-alcoholic wine and spirits. A few Northwest wineries and distillers are dipping their toes into this space too, including Waterbrook Winery in Walla Walla and Wilderton Spirits of Hood River. I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia.